Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm so glad to see each and every one of you. So glad to be able to worship the Lord with you, people of like faith, and be able to testify about the goodness of God, the promises of God, the provision of God. Every one of you, you and I, we're here because of the grace of God. Amen. There's a devil out there, as Brother Dennis taught this morning, that is as a roaring lion who's seeking whom he may devour. But praise God, you and I, we're under the blood. Amen. And we're in a place and a position where, though we all go through storms and trials and struggles, we've got a God in Jesus Christ that knows that He went through the very same thing, tempted like us, but He's our victor. He's our hope, our confidence. He's the anchor and the bishop of our soul. Amen. If you would, open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 22. Let's look at a couple of verses of Scripture here. I want to talk to you tonight about the devil's distractions. The devil's distractions. You know, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, down about verse 11, that as Christian people, you and I are not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. And so one of the main devices of the enemy is to distract you, or to distract me, if he at all possibly can. And so there was three things that was laid on my heart in the sense of distractions. You can mark it down in your mind's eye, and we'll look at what we have time to look at tonight. Number one is fun. Fun. The devil loves to distract people with fun. And there's fun that's fun, and then there's fun that the world labels fun that you and I label as sin. Amen? And then there's flattery. The devil loves to distract people by getting their eyes and their minds and their attentions off the things of God and on other things. And he uses people and situations to do that, to influence us. Rather than making an inside decision, we make an outside decision because of something that's said or something that's done. And it's very covertly. Underhandedly, if you would, the enemy works. And then lastly, fear. So remember those three F's when we talk about the devil's distractions. But if you would, Luke chapter 22, let's read two verses out of the mouth of Jesus, verses 31 and verses 32. Luke 22, chapter 22, verses 31 and 32. And we'll see why it's so important to be aware of the devil's distractions. Look what Jesus himself told Simon. If you're there, say amen. Alright, Luke 22:31, the Word of God says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold," in other words, I want you to see this, get this in your spirit, "Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But Jesus says, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Let's pray. Father, we ask you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you just supernaturally by your Holy Spirit help us to hear. Just as the Lord called Peter, Simon, Simon, meaning hearing. Hearing to hear. Help us tonight be hearing Christians, and help us to be aware of the reality that we have a job to do, and that job is to strengthen our brethren, strengthen those people around us. And the enemy cannot stand the thought, the ideal that you have anointed us to be a help, to be an encourager, to be an exhorter, to be a vessel that can bring something to someone else that enable them, empower them to walk in victory, to walk in the very plan and the will that you have died and resurrected to give them, Father. And so I ask you in the name of Jesus that you help us be in this place, in this position, that every distraction that the enemy might be bringing in our lives, that it would be revealed to us on a personal level, inside of our hearts, souls, and lives. Let it be like a neon sign being flipped on, blinking in the darkness. Let us see it. Let us understand what it's saying, the implications thereof. And help us to do what your word says. Help us look unto the author and the finisher of our faith. Help us see Jesus as the great apostle of our very salvation. We ask this, Father, in the name of Jesus, and we all say, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Now, as we look at our text here, you know, we got to put ourselves in the place and the position that Peter is here, because Peter, in the sense of being one of the leading disciples, apostles, Jesus is warning him. Well, today as we look around, you're one of God's chosen. You're one of God's elect. And God has placed you in this dispensation of time because He trusts you. And He's in a place and a position where He's chose to use you to reach a whole world that is lying in darkness. And so with that understanding, you've got to be aware, I've got to be aware that the enemy, he wants to sift you and I as wheat. He cannot stand the thought, the ideal that Jesus Christ has called you out of a darkened world and put His light inside of you, cleansed you up with His very own blood, anointed you by the Spirit. The devil can't stand that because he recognizes and realizes that you are a threat to His kingdom. You're a threat to His plans. See, the Bible says that you, the believer, has been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, the kingdom of light. Amen? And so, there is something inside of you that can change your whole world. Everybody that you come in contact with, there is a possibility of someone being saved, somebody being healed, somebody being delivered. There's always a possibility when God is on the scene. Well, God is on the scene because He dwells within you. Amen? And so the devil knows that you are the source of strength, being the vessel. It comes from God, but you're the conduit, you're the vessel that God has filled up. And so He, of course, He wants to sift you. But you've got to be like a place in a position where you're continually hearing from God. That's why Jesus didn't call Peter, Peter, but He called him Simon, Simon. In other words, hearing by hearing, you've got to be in a place and a position where you recognize and realize that the devil's coming after you. But at the same time, oh, glory be to God, according to Hebrews chapter 7, down about verse 25, Jesus Christ ever liveth to make intercession for you and I. Just like He told Peter, He said, I've prayed for you. I want you to think that. Get that in your spirit. Jesus Christ has prayed for you today. He's prayed for me today. And so, one of the things that He has prayed is for us to be in a place and a position where the devil won't get advantage of us. Amen? And the main way that he's working in these last days to get advantage is through distraction. Today, there's never been a time in anybody's life, I don't believe, that people have been more busy having so many different things to do. Though we have so many conveniences of life, it seems like it's harder to do everything that we've got to do in the amount of time that we've got. So the devil's trying to distract us. But I want us to break some things down, and I think it'll help us so much as we look at some verses of Scripture. I want you to go with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 12. And let's talk about fun. Now when I say fun, I'm not talking about Christian fun. I'm talking about worldly fun. I'm talking about fun that will distract you off the things of God. Fun that will get you out of the will of God. Fun that will get you out from under the covenant of God into the place where the enemy can work in your life and in my life. And we're going to look at an example of how to avoid that. Hebrews chapter 12, starting at verse 24. Look what the Word of God says. It says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You and I, when it's talking about come to years, we can liken that to the day that you and I got saved. The day that we grew up out of the world and was born again in Jesus Christ, and we come to the years of understanding that, hey, this world is passing away. Everything about this world is passing away, but I've got a new hope, a new life, and that life is in the reality that I'm not trusting in all the things that I used to know and I used to do. I'm not holding my excitement and my anticipation in this world because I know that it's passing away. But I'm holding it in something that's greater, something that's eternal, something that's lasting. Look what he said. He said, Moses choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy, now mark it down in your Bible, in your mind's eye, to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. The pleasures, that's fun. See, there's fun in sin for a season. The devil always shows us the sin, but he never shows us the outcome. Come on, you know, you can look through a magazine and, you know, you see certain commercials and boy, the devil makes it look like fun. But he doesn't show you what happens when the fun's over. He doesn't show you that the death that comes after it or the heartache. He doesn't show you all those other things. And so you and I have got to be in a place and a position where we are not distracted, because in this day, you can't hardly watch television. You've got to be so cautious what you watch, because the devil, he sneaks something in at every opportunity. I mean, he tries his best to get you to accept the standards that the world is saying is acceptable now. He's trying to get you to be persuaded to lower the standards of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, He is our standard. And He lived in this world, yet He was without sin. Amen? And so He's going to be the one that you and I are going to hold on to, that we're going to look to. And we won't have to do that. He said that Moses, being a servant of God, he chose rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, I want us to understand this word pleasure here. Mark your place. We're going to come right back. But go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6, and let's see where this word is translated in joy. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Now, this is the same Greek word, but it's translated in joy. It'll help us to understand it. 1 Timothy 6, 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Okay. So in other words, God's not against you and I enjoying the things of this world, because God gave it to us. Amen? He wants you to enjoy your home. He wants you to enjoy your job and your automobile and maybe the things that you do for a hobby. You know, He wants you to enjoy those things. It's when the devil uses those things to distract us and to get our minds off of Jesus that's when we've got to be very cautious and realize that it's something to pull us out of the will of God, out of the plan of God. And you and I, we see here that if God is our source on all things, and that I can take and I can have a gun that I can enjoy. I can have a four-wheeler or a boat, or I can have my favorite book or even my favorite TV show, whatever it might be. I can enjoy that when I realize that God gave it to me. And I can do it with God. It's something that I can do, and I know that Jesus is right there with me. Amen? That's the things that you and I are to enjoy. But you see, the world, and that's what he's talking about, Moses in Egypt being a type of bondage, they take the things of God and they pervert it. They take the blessings of God and they twist it into what satisfies the flesh. And they take the eternal blessing of God and they take it and turn it into something that is selfish, that's moment by moment. Amen? That just to satisfy what the flesh wants right now, and it doesn't matter who it hurts, it doesn't matter as long as it satisfies that desire, that pull of the flesh. And so what you and I want to do, we want to apply these verses of Scripture. He said that by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He made a choice. He made a choice. He recognized and he looked. He looked past the moment. See, the only way you and I can help people get out of sin is we help them see past what the devil's showing them. We help them see the hurt that comes out of it by showing them that the true source of peace that is in Jesus, the true source of satisfaction that is in Jesus. Moses looked past all the things that Egypt had to offer and he saw Jesus. That's why you and I have got to be in a place and a position where when we witness to people, when we encourage people, when we try to comfort them, that we always point the focus back on the Lord. Back on Jesus. Because if we can get their eyes on Jesus, these things in the world that is manipulating them, that is controlling them, that is trying to drive them, all of a sudden they lose their glory. Because when you put something beside Jesus, there's nothing as glorious as Jesus Christ. Amen? And so we want to be in a place where we're not distracted by the thing that this world has to offer. He said that this sin was just for a season. Now, let's think about this for a season, just for a moment. See, in the book of Psalms, hold your place here, and let's read Psalm 16, and I believe it's down about verse 11, maybe. Psalms chapter 16. See, God's His pleasure is forever. Look at Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. And look at this. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand they are pleasures forevermore. See, God's pleasures, they don't last just during the night and you wake up in the morning with a headache. Or you wake up and asking yourself, what happened? God's pleasures ain't that way. God's pleasures, you wake up and you're just as excited now as you was yesterday, but it's even more fresh because God's the God of now. God's the God of the present. God is the God that brings salvation right now, moment by moment, in every situation, in every circumstance. So why would I want to choose the pleasures of Egypt, of the world, that are temporal, when I can have, when you can have, when we can tell everybody we come in contact with, they can have the pleasures of the Lord that are forevermore. Amen? Forevermore. That's a promise. That's for you and I. And so what we've got to do is, we've got to help people if they're in a rut, if they're in a cycle, we've got to let them see what sin and the fun, and that's what I'm talking about when I the fun of the world, what it does. See, the Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin, the fun of this world, is what? Death. But I can have pleasure that's eternal in God. But see, Moses, he was able to see that, and he was able to reach out and grab that, and he was able to bring out a whole group of people out of that. Well, guess what? That's what you've been called to do this year. Come on, this time. This is the day of salvation. This is the day to bring people out of bondage and bring them into the light. Bring them into the truth. And so, what we've got to do is we've got to help people and say, if you keep dealing with things that seem like they're dead ends in your life, let me tell you a change. Let me tell you how you can come out of the things that always end with a stumbling block. That always end with your face against the wall. Your face against the grindstone. Let me help you. Come on, that's what you've been called to do. That's what I've been called to do. The Bible says in Proverbs 28, let's read this verse. Keep your place marked in Hebrews. Proverbs chapter 28, down about verse 13 or so. Let's read this. Some people can't understand why they can't ever get ahead. Why there's always something going wrong. Look at this. Proverbs 28:13. He, no gender intended, he or she, that covereth his or her sins, shall not what? Shall not prosper. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Mercy. The mercy of God is what enables you, enables me to be saved. Enables us to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, who is life, who came that you and I can have abundant life. So what we want to do is we want to say, Lord God, here I am. I'm right here. I'm sitting here, or I'm standing here, or I'm working beside this person, or whatever. If a conversation arises, Lord, if they're in a place and a position where they keep coming to a dead end, if they're in a place and a position where they're not prospering in their life, Lord, help me. Use me. I'm your vessel. Let that Holy Spirit give me a word. Give me something that I can say to them that will point them toward Jesus. Amen? And as you do that, as I do that, all of a sudden, you'll say something and it may not mean a thing to you. It may not mean a thing to me. It may not even make sense to us. But it'll fit right down in the center of their heart and they'll know that they've been touched by God. They'll know that Jesus loves them and He's working in their life. And all of a sudden, they can come out of that situation where they're not prospering. Come on, every one of us, we know people that they're going around and around in a circle like a dog chasing a tail. And every time they move a step forward and they get something in their life, the devil steals it right away from them. Well, they need to know. They need to know why and how that's happening. And the only way they'll ever know it is if they stop being distracted by the world and you show them how to get their eyes on Jesus. Jesus is the source for all good things. The Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there's no shadow of turning. Amen. In other words, that He's always shining right here. And if they'll step right here, in other words, if they get in sync with God, they'll prosper. Amen. Because when you step in the light, you see the sin. But then you see the answer to the sin because Jesus is the source of light.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, glory. Now we're talking about not being distracted. We're talking about how to be in a place and a position to be able to help other people. Now that's for us. Now it says here, it says in verse 27, back in Hebrews 11:27, by faith he, Moses, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, and he endured as seeing him who is invisible. That endured means to wax strong. Moses waxed strong because he wasn't looking to the things of this world as his source. He was seeing the invisible. In other words, he was seeing God in his life. And tonight, that's what the Lord wants to do in us. Brother Donnie, by the leadership of the Spirit, he quoted how I'm going to close this sermon. You and I, we've got to come to the place where the eyes of our heart are opened. Open in every situation. And we see God in that situation. Because if you can see God, if I can see God, it doesn't matter what the problem is. It doesn't matter what the struggle is. It doesn't matter what the need is. If you can see Jesus, He's the answer. Amen? And if you can see Jesus, then you can present Him. You can give Him to somebody else. It says, by faith, through faith, verse 28, Moses, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. You and I, when we're under the blood, that devil can't do the things that he could do when you're out from under the blood.
Right.
See, all of those who weren't in the place where the blood was on the doorpost, the firstborn, in other words, their prosperity, their future, it was gone. It was going, and that's why we got to be in a place where we're always, the Bible says, confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. You and I, when we confess our faults to God, and we've got a confidant, we've got a Christian brother or sister that we can count on, we can pray, they pray with, and they can pray with us, we get strong.
Amen?
Amen? And that blood stays applied, and it stays applied, it keeps the enemy back. It says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. The Lord wants to drown the enemy out of your life, out of my life. He does. That's His number one desire. He wants you and I to be in a place where we're walking in such close proximity to Him that there's a praise going on that Brother Corey was talking about, and there's an inhabiting of God's presence that's so strong that the devil doesn't even want to be there. The devil will not stay around. Like Sister Helen always testifies, she praises God when she feels the enemy. And then she feels Jesus. That's what we've got to do. Because as we do that, the enemy cannot stand to hear anybody praise God. Amen? So we can't afford to be distracted. We've got to focus. Okay. So we want to be in a place where we don't let the world's fun, the world's sin distract us. But at the same time, you've got to be on guard that after you get saved and you start walking with Jesus, the devil will use people to bring into your life, into my life, with flatteries. He'll use situations and circumstances to try to manipulate you, to manipulate other people that would change attitudes and actions and ministries. He doesn't want you to be in your place. And He'll do anything and everything He possibly can to stop that if He can. Now let's look at it as some Scripture that will help us. Go with me to 2 Samuel chapter 15. And let's see, this is a perfect example. 2 Samuel chapter 15, starting at verse 1. Now this is exactly how the devil works to undermine the authority of the Lord in your life, in my life, within the church. 2 Samuel 15 and 1. And it came to pass after this that Absalom prepared himself chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. Now Absalom, you remember, is King David's son. And he is a handsome young man. He'd be in his probably mid-20s. And he had hair that was unbelievable. He sold his hair, for money. He was a handsome, he had great charisma and all of these things. And so all of a sudden he decides that he's gonna, upsert his dad's authority, that he's going to try to move David out of the place. But the problem is David's anointed. David's the one that's anointed to be king. Well, tonight, you're the one that's anointed. The Bible says that you are kings and priests in the earth. Come on. Every one of you that are blood-bought, believe it in your heart, that's who you are. And you've got an anointing on your life to do the call that God's called you to do. But at the same time, the devil wants to take and nullify the influence that you have on people. And he'll lie on you. He'll set up situations and circumstances to make people, try to make people think different about you. Because the Bible says that you have the favor of God. Amen. See, the closer you get to God, the Bible says that, first of all, God's favor with you and your favor with Him comes together.
Yes.
And it increases. And that causes a mathematical solution of that your favor increases with man. And the devil don't want you to have any favor with man. So here, keep that in mind as we look at this. This is what the devil does. Verse 2, and Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gate. And it was so that when any man had a controversy and came to the king for judgment, then Absalom called unto him and said, of what city art they? And he said, thy servant is one of the tribes of Israel. Now I want you to see this in your mind's eye. In this day and age, the king, he would come down to the city gates. And if he'd come down and he would hear every legal contest, he would hear the disputes. And then, because see, he was anointed to stand in that place. He was anointed to make the final decision. And so here, Absalom, he comes into this place in this situation. If you notice, if you count this out, in the first 14 verses, Absalom's name is listed 15 times. Why? Because it's all about him. He had a complex. It's about me. And so here he is. In other words, he's when the people come and they're going to talk to David, he'll cut them off before they ever get to David. Now listen to me. This is real. God is trying to set you up and make you in a place of blessing to somebody. And the devil knows that. And the devil will try to stop that meeting. He'll try to stop you from being in that place, in that position, to be able to judge a situation that somebody don't know how to judge. That somebody don't know what to do. And that's exactly what this is a type of. And so we've got to be in a place, in a position, where we don't let anything distract us, and we're moving to do what God would have us to do. It says in verse 3, and Absalom said unto him, see, thy matters are good and right, but there's no man deputed of the king to hear thee. Now I want you to see this. This is what the devil does. He comes and he puts his arm around you. Oh, Brother Dennis, you're such a good guy. Nobody appreciates you. Man, you sit there and you study and teach Sunday school and you lead songs. Nobody cares. But you know what? If you come to my church, I'd appreciate you there. Come on. Flatteries. Flatteries, that's what the devil does. And he tries to move you, tries to move me, but also he tries to influence people. He'll come and he'll say, he don't like you much. He don't like you at all, as a matter of fact. Besides you, I wouldn't listen to a word he said. Not a word. Does anybody think about you like that? And I think, I ain't for sure now, but I think I heard him say something about you. I think he said that you were kind of, you know, just a little hateful. Come on now. We're real. We're talking real.
Yeah.
That's exactly what's happening here. Undermining David's authority. Mm-hmm. Now the Bible tells you and I that we warn those who are unruly. If somebody's trying to undermine the authority, you've got authority. Jesus, out of the mouth of Jesus, he said, behold, I give unto you, my servants, all authority.
Amen.
So you got authority to stand up in Jesus Christ and to say what Jesus tells you to say and to be who Jesus says you are And if anybody tries to belittle who you are, you know it's of the devil.
That's right.
We don't listen to the devil.
That's right.
And in the name of Jesus, we tell the devil to shut up.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
Absalom said moreover. Notice it keep his name just keeps coming up and up and up. Verse 4. Oh, that I were made a judge in the land, that every man which hath any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do him justice. Come on. If you give me the opportunity, I'll take care of you. Come on with me. Walk with me. We'll make it right. They don't care nothing about you. Every one of you is needed desperately in this church. We need each other. And God's put you here. And I want you to be proud of who you are in this church. And I want you to be proud of this church. Amen. But I want you to shut your ears to the enemy. Amen. Don't let him browbeat you or discourage you. Don't let him tell you anything. That the Bible says, if it doesn't edify, to cast it down.
Amen.
And it was so that when any man came nigh to him, to Absalom, to do him obeisance, to bow down to him, he put forth his hand and took him and killed. Oh, don't bow down to me. I'm a nobody. You're the one. Come on, this day. Now, why are we reading this? Look what it says, verse 6. And on this matter did Absalom to all of Israel that came to the king for judgment, so that Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. David has to run for his life, anointed in his place, cast out of his place, because the devil moved in this situation. So what we've got to do is, you are been called to be a restorer of the breach, because Jesus wants to use you. There's people who have been moved out of their place because of the devil. But you and I, we can be used by God Almighty to go out and to get them and to help them and to give them a word that will heal their heart and to allow the anointing to flow through our lives that will destroy the yoke. That's what the anointing does. It destroys the yoke off their lives. No distractions. Come on. When the devil shows you something greener on the other side, or he shows you something that's contrary to what God said to you, be prepared. But also be in a place and a position, amen, to help somebody else. Okay, let's look at fear. And I will hurry and I'll let you go. Go to the Gospel of Mark. See, the devil can't stand you and I to be in faith. Because, see, faith unleashes heaven on earth. Amen? Faith is what caused you to be born again. Caused me to be born again. The Bible says in Romans 12:3 that God Almighty Himself gave you, the believer, the measure of faith. In other words, just exactly what you need. And then He tells us to add to that. Amen? But here's why it's so important. Mark chapter 9, look at verse 23. I won't take time to read all this. You know the story, but let's get the context of it. Mark 9:23. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, mark it down in your mind's eye, all things are possible to him, no gender intended, to the person that believeth.
Amen.
Now, if you believe, that means you don't have fear. The Bible says perfect love casts out fear. Well, we've been demonstrating the perfect love of God because we talked about that this morning, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
And so that was a demonstration of God's love. So we've got perfect love.
Yes.
And so we've got to get in a place, a position where when the devil says something to you that is the opposite of the Word of God, that you recognize that it's trying to take away your faith, my faith. And if we don't have faith on that, we're going to have fear. Now let's look at a second witness. Mark chapter 10, look at verse 27. Mark chapter 10, I'll just read you have to read the rest of it in your home study time. And Jesus looking, Mark 10:27, and Jesus looking upon them saith, with men it is impossible, but with God, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. That's our God.
Amen.
All things.
Amen.
So if the devil's telling you that this relationship will never be put back together, or this need will never be met, where's that coming from? That's not coming from God. And so we don't want anything to do with that, because that'll create fear.
Right.
But if I can believe, God's got something for me. But I've got to do like Jesus did. Jesus is our perfect example. Amen. We've got to do like He did. One more verse, and we'll look at, and we'll get ready. We'll close. Turn over to Mark chapter 14, and look at verse 36. Now this is how Jesus overcame, and this is the way that you and I overcome. Mark 14, 36. And He said, Jesus said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto Thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what Thou wilt. So we tell God, God, I believe that all things are possible. But at the same time, I know that my flesh is going to give me a problem. The flesh was giving Jesus a problem. But what did He do? He cried, Abba, Father. The Bible says that you and I, we can cry, Abba, Father, and we have all of heaven in the name of Jesus to help us.
Amen.
To strengthen us. Well, I don't know what you're going through or what the need is or the circumstance is, but here's your answer. Here's your way of victory. Here's my way of victory. And this is what we've got to do. Pointing people to look to Jesus. Because if they can see Jesus, everything changes. Now, this is the last verse we'll read. This is what Brother Donnie was talking about. Go with me to Psalms 119. Let's read one verse and we'll close. Psalms 119, verse number 18. This is our prayer tonight as a church. Open Thou my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of Thy law, out of Thy word. You see, God's word is law. And if you and I can believe it, He said all things were possible. Now, what does that mean? That means that you have certain legal rights being a Christian. I have certain legal rights being a Christian. It's in our covenant that we talked about this morning. And if the devil has stole something, see, the Bible says the devil has to restore, a thief has to restore fourfold. Now, we need to get to the place where we believe that, where there can be a restoration in our life, where we'll have something for ourselves and something for somebody else.
Amen.
So, what we want to do as a church, we want to hit these altars. And we want to ask God Almighty, Lord, open my eyes. That I may behold. That word behold from the Hebrew, it means to scan like a computer. Like a hard drive in a computer. Where in just a moment of time with a computer, you can install the Bible and you can go from one end of the Bible to the other. And that's what this is saying. In other words, by the Holy Spirit, help me go from where I need to in the Bible from moment to moment to moment. And as we do that, all of these things are pointing to Jesus. And then what's gone by the enemy is replaced by our Savior. Amen?
Amen.
Now I'll close with this thought. In 1996, you can read this, I read this out of a magazine. At the Kentucky Derby, they had a lot of horses that just kept getting sicker and sicker and sicker. And they couldn't figure out why all these horses were getting sick. And finally, they were treating them for sinus infections. There was heavy bleeding out the nostrils. And these great high dollar prize horses were just going through all kinds of misery. And so they went and they took one of the horses and they x-rayed that horse. And when they x-rayed it, they found that inside the nasal passages of this horse were a sponge on each side of its nasal passages. And these sponges had been placed in these horses. Every one of them that was sick had been placed there and had been there for a long period of time. And they were placed there by people who wanted the horses to lose. Because, you see, they couldn't get the oxygen they needed. They couldn't, and they kept a low-grade temperature and from the infection. And see, but under the x-ray, it was revealed. Well, the Word of God, that's the x-ray in our lives. And it can show us things in our life that's limiting us, that's hindering us, that's keeping us from being all we can be. Because the Bible says that you and I are running a race. And to run this race, we've got to run it with patience, but we've got to run it under the ability and the anointing and the power of Jesus Christ in our lives. And what that means is, that means that Jesus Christ shows us things continually in our life that makes us spiritually sick, that pulls, that zaps our strength. Amen? And so we want to be in a place, in a position where we just let God talk to us. Let God show us. Let God empower us and change everything about us. Amen?
Amen?
Because if we'll do that, we can be all that Christ died to make us to be. Father, we thank You for Your goodness, Your grace, Your mercy, Your love. I thank You, Father, for the privilege, the opportunity that we have had to be here in Your Word, be here together. I ask You, Lord, that You help every one of us be encouraged and be excited about who we are because of the finished work of the cross. And help us to get in a place and a position where if there's any device that's working in our life by the devil, that it's revealed to us tonight. Open our eyes, Father. We ask You in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, let the anointing of the Holy Spirit supernaturally come upon us. Let us see why we're going in a circle in this situation. Let us see why it feels like we're running against a brick wall in this area. Or if there's somebody that we're praying for, that we're ministering to, that our heart is heavy for, reveal it to us in our own life where we can be in a place and a position to be used by You to meet that need. Oh, we ask You, Father, in the name of Jesus. Would You come tonight? Would You come and just kneel at Your very heart at the altar and say, Lord God, here I am. Here I am. Talk to me. Reveal to me. I don't want to listen to anything that would cause fear. I don't want to listen to anything that would try to flatter me or move me or influence me about other people, that would limit their scope of influence in my life or that would limit my scope of influence. And I don't want to accept anything that's of this world into my life. I want the very plan and the will and the sanctification of God Almighty by the Spirit.
Thank you. Thank you. Big things in store for the people here in this church and for this church. I'm believing that we are living in, if not already in the end times, we're moving very close to the end times. And praise God, there's going to be a great awakening amongst God's people and amongst the people of the world. And the Bible says that one day every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord. And there's a song that we should always sing in youth group and everything, and I wish I knew it, but I absolutely love it. And it says just that. One day every tongue will confess You are God, and one day every knee will bow. But still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose Him now. Amen. And that's what we're doing. We're choosing God. We're choosing Him above all else. Forsaking the things of this world and following after God. That is your ultimate call, and that is such an awesome thing that we can do that. There's a verse in the Bible that says, Let your light shine before all men. Let them see your good works, and then let them glorify the Lord. Everything that we do is to show the glory of God. It's to show God moving and working inside of each and every one of us. And if we choose to allow everything we do to be go for God's glory, it's going to draw all men into Him. And praise God, we have that opportunity.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, hallelujah. Let's give God another hand clap for prayer. Announcement, don't forget our Thursday night Bible study at 6:30. If you haven't had a chance to make it out yet, you're missing out. It is a huge blessing. It's very eye-opening, very sobering, and very awakening. Praise God that we're able to have the opportunity to have a Bible study. So if you've got nothing going on Thursday night, 6:30, you're more than welcome to join us for our Bible study. It is a blessing. Are there any other announcements? Anything else that the church, the community needs to know about? Going on? Coming twice? Brother Bill, would you mind to dismiss us in prayer this evening?
Lord, we're thankful, God, for another opportunity to be in your house. Lord, we thank you, God, for this service. We thank you, God, for each and every one here. We pray, God, go with us. Guide us, keep us, and direct us, and bring us back to your house before the time. We give you praise and honor. Jesus. Amen.
Amen.